Last week we looked at the Holy Spirit and why we receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And in that we looked at the Great Commission. And we saw that the Great Commission was really the purpose why we receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And the Great Commission says to go forth and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we took a little bit of time to talk about we're making disciples and not just converts, right? It doesn't say go and make believers. Certainly, before you're a disciple, you have to be a believer. But it's to go out and make disciples. And disciples are learners of Christ and people who desire to be conformed to Christ's image. So that's what we talked about. We also said part of that Great Commission is the ministry of reconciliation, which is the evangelizing, if you will. We have been saved, so God uses us, Jesus uses us, to continue His ministry, to go out and bring others to know Him, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, and for them, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the gift of faith that they've been given, to accept Him as their Lord and Savior. So just as Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians, Pastor Dave talked about, is that we have a ministry of reconciliation, and that's all part of the Great Commission. And we also looked at how Jesus said that harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray for the Lord of the harvest to bring more laborers. Well, the laborers are essentially us as the disciples. And then the bottom line is that the reason we have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit then is to be the witnesses that He desires us to be, those supernatural witnesses. To have the boldness like Peter showed in Acts 2, 1 through 41, where he was able to share the gospel in boldness and use the spirits to glorify God as that supernatural witness. And Jesus said in John 7, 37 through 38, all who come to know Him will drink and never thirst again, and they will have torrents of living water running forth from their life. And that living water is essentially the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, coming upon us and flowing through us. And that's how the church was born, through the power of Christ. So that's what we studied last week. Tonight, what we're going to look at, and again, this is the wrap-up, we're going to look at the reading track, Who the Holy Spirit Helps, because we're going to see that this gift or these gifts are intended for everyone, and that's everyone who believes. And it just as it's stated in Acts 2:39, it's everyone who believes in the Lord. That was back in biblical times. It was back in the early centuries. It's also true for today. Whoever belongs to the Lord, these gifts of the Holy Spirit are intended for. So we'll look at that, and that's going to be further defined in Who the Holy Spirit Helps. And then we have a handout, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I think this is a real good handout, and it gives a pretty succinct description of each of the gifts. So we'll be able to spend just a couple of minutes on, or maybe a minute on each gift and go over them. And this is by Ron Ritchie. He's a Calvary Chapel pastor. And I got this off of Blue Letter Bible. And again, Blue Letter Bible references and resources are really good. So if you want to learn more about who the Holy Spirit is or the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, I recommend you go to the Blue Letter Bible and just click on the Holy Spirit. And they got a whole library of stuff there. In fact, that's where I got most of my stuff, as well as through inductive Bible study. All right, and then I promised for those of you that have been doing the homework that at the end of the lesson tonight, we'd actually do a homework wrap-up. And I even brought the homework in case the dog ate it, right? Because that used to happen to me a lot in school. And I never even had a dog. So we'll go over the homework. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. And I'd like to welcome Pastor Dave back from his experience there with the surgeon, and glad that he's healed and doing so well. So we want to give a praise report and just praise God that everything went so well with him. All right, so tonight we'll be looking at Acts 2, 1 through 41, but we're not really going to read it because we read it last week, but we're going to go over that track because, or the reading track, because we were just running out of time, so I didn't cover that last reading track, and it'll be a good segue into the spiritual gifts, so it ties in real nicely. So we'll look at that reading track, and I'm sure that it'll come back to you as we read that track, what the actual Bible study or the actual Acts 2, 1 through 41 was about. We're going to look at the spiritual gifts, and the spiritual gifts are identified in three different books of the Bible. They're in 1 Corinthians, they're in Romans, and they're in Ephesians. And that's what I like about this handout, is not only do they give you the two types of gifts, but the last page of the handout actually shows you where the gifts are located in the different books. So which gift is, where you can find it biblically in the Bible. So this is just a really neat handout, and something I think that you can use as you disciple others. And then the last part of this is the body of Christ is made up of many parts. We're going to just touch on that briefly and talk a little bit about why different people get different gifts. And it's because there's different, God has different plans for our lives. He brought us together as we were baptized into fellowship. Remember, we learned the three types of baptism, water baptism. The pastor does that. And then there's baptism into the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit does that. And then the third baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus Christ does. Well, when we're baptized into the body of Christ, when we're born from above, He already has a plan for your life and knows where you're going to be at in the body, and in that body, what spiritual gifts will be needed. And at the appropriate time, then we receive those gifts and are to use those gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to read a little bit about that in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31. We won't go through the whole text, but I have a synopsis of it. So again, just like last week, what's our motivation? Well, our motivation is that we have been appointed by Jesus Christ to carry on His ministry. What we do is not under our own authority. It's under Jesus Christ's authority, and it's for His purposes and for His glory, and of course the glory of God the Father as well. So I mean, as we looked at last week, I mean, that kind of like leaves a lump in your throat when you think about we are truly His ambassadors and ministers of His gospel. However, He did not leave us as orphans. He's not only filled us with the Holy Spirit so that we can have the fruits of the Spirit and mature in Him, but we also have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit with these spiritual gifts that we're going to look at tonight. And He has prescribed field work for us to do. Remember, He talks about yoking ourselves to Him, right? He says that, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and you will find rest for your souls. Yoke yourself to me, and you will learn from me." A yoke is meant for a beast of burden, and that burden that He places on our hearts is that field work, being harvest laborers, and going out there and doing the work that He's prescribed for us to do, the Great Commission and the Ministry of Reconciliation. And He will be glorified when we obey Him in that, and that's our purpose here, is to glorify Him. Why we want to be disciples is so that we can bring glory to the Father and to be used by Him. And to be used by Him is to fulfill the plan that He has for our lives. And this is truly the heart of the disciple, that there is a broken and contrite heart, a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. And that's what we desire, to be used by God, not for anything of ourselves, but for His purposes. So that's our motivation. Our objective for tonight's lesson is to identify those gifts that are intended for specific purposes and are given to specific people. And we're going to see it isn't us who chooses the gifts. Like you were talking about, how come you never get the gifts of miracles? Well, same reason I didn't, probably. They weren't intended for us, right? Miraculous powers, right? Whether it's healing or whatever. But God chooses, the Holy Spirit chooses who to give those to. And then we're going to review the homework for tonight. Who the Holy Spirit helps. Last week we read Acts 2:1 through 41. And just to refresh your memory, that was the day of Pentecost, and that's where the disciples were all together and they were praying. And Jesus had said in Acts 1:8, "Go and wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you." And then beginning in Jerusalem, and then to Judea, and then to Samaria, and all the other parts of the world, declare His gospel, or the good news of Jesus Christ. So they were waiting there to get that. And then, boom, they had the tongues of fire come upon them, and they all received different gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that's when Peter gave that testimony that is described mainly, well, almost in the entirety between Acts 2:1 through 41. And that testimony resulted in over 3,000 people coming to know the Lord that day. So that's the type of power. And we all look at Peter, like he was kind of like a bumbling kind of guy, he was hot and cold and all that. Well, that all stopped once he received the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and he became one of the greatest witnesses for Christ. Right? And that's what happens to us. You know, when we operate in Christ's power, he uses us and we can do marvelous things, miraculous powers we have. And nothing more miraculous than sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and seeing somebody come to know the Lord. You know, truly come to know the Lord and have an eternal life. So that's the most miraculous power we can have. And God uses us. He chooses to use us to do that. And that's what's so miraculous. Right? And because just like Peter, we too go along bumbling and stumbling and all that. But when he empowers us, we use those gifts, we can glorify him. And that's what it's all about. All right. So let's read this. It says, who the Holy Spirit helps. The Holy Spirit has been given to all believers to deepen their spiritual walk and to enable them to make an impact upon their world for Jesus Christ. This passage illustrates three aspects of the Holy Spirit's unique work in the lives of believers. Number one, the Holy Spirit fills all believers to overflowing, in fact. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was given only to a select few to perform specific tasks. And I want to just stop here for a minute because I remember that Barb had asked several classes ago when we first started talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. She asked that question, what is different now than back in biblical times? And we said, well, the difference was we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which they didn't have until after Christ had come to their glory. But what they did have, like King David and others, did get the Holy Spirit to come upon them to do miraculous things and be able to do their miraculous ministries like the Psalms and the other things that he did and the win wars, the wage wars and win wars and to glorify God. But the difference was is that everyone who comes to Jesus Christ now is born from above and has that Holy Spirit, and we have a supernatural relationship with him that they couldn't have until after Christ had come to their glory. This chapter indicates a change in that pattern. The Holy Spirit was poured out on all the believers in the house that day, and he was present in each of their lives from that day forward. This outpouring of the Holy Spirit was used by God to establish the church and to spread the message of the gospel to everyone, everywhere. And so, some of the notes I had on that was as we looked at Acts 2:1-41, associated with the Holy Spirit fills all believers, indwelling. We're filled up to the brim and we produce his fruits through the Spirit. Then with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where he actually comes upon us, then we are overflowing. We literally have those torrents of living water coming out of us. And as we're that living water is coming out of us, then we can touch others and have them share in the eternal life that we have by being able to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And we become those empowered witnesses. Now again, not one of us ever converts anyone. It's always the Holy Spirit that does the conversion, but we have been entrusted with the message. And he gives us the power and the words and the opportunity to share those messages. And what we are to do is to obey and to, when we're given those opportunities, to use that empowerment for that purpose. This overflowing was used by God to establish the church, and it continues today. And I know that Dave and the other pastors that truly have a pastor's heart, you know, that's what we're here to do, is continue having the church grow through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not about money. It's not about, you know, what we're doing, but it's what Christ is doing in us, to us, and through us. And that's through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And that's what causes the church to grow. He is the vine, we are the branch, right? And through that, we stay connected to the Holy Spirit, connected to Christ, and through that empowerment of that Spirit, the church grows. So this, again, is the overflowing used by God to establish the church and what we will use to continue the work of the church. We want to plant churches, and also a piece of that is disciple others, just like we're doing here in this study, when people come to know Jesus Christ, to help them be learners of Christ. So that was some of the things I got out of the reading. The Holy Spirit, under point two, the Holy Spirit draws attention to the Savior. Notice that Peter did not focus on the unique happening that had just taken place, but turned the crowd's attention to the message of Jesus Christ and their need for repentance. Likewise, the Holy Spirit does not draw attention to himself, but to the Savior. And when he fills your life, he will increase your ability to share the gospel with others. What they're literally saying here is when the Holy Spirit empowers you to do something miraculous, don't dwell and draw attention on just that miraculous thing. Hey, did you see what I just did? You know, I just spoke in tongues. No, you use that opportunity to use whatever gift he's given you to share the gospel and to glorify God. You bring attention not to the gift, but use that gift for his glory. All right? And that's what Peter did. He didn't say, oh, listen to all these people talking in tongues. Isn't this miraculous? No, he took that opportunity right away and said, yes, now listen up, all of you from all your different lands. You know, these people aren't drunk. They're not on wine. They're powered by the Holy Spirit or empowered by the Holy Spirit. And this is what you did, right? And he took them all the way through that they were sinners and they crucified Christ. And you can come to know Christ by repenting and accepting him as the Lord. And that's what they did. And over 3,000, well, I should say that's what over 3,000 of them did. The focus of our lives and our abilities will be on serving Jesus Christ. That's what we're to do with this empowerment. And our capability to share the gospel will then become supernatural. So under the third point, the Holy Spirit inspired Peter's message. Peter's sermon, inspired by the Holy Spirit, led many in the crowd to a point of decision. What should we do? They asked in verse 37. The people were not attracted to Peter, but to his message. The Holy Spirit worked powerfully that day, and 3,000 people responded to his message, and or the message from Jesus Christ. And that's the bottom line, and that is that people are attracted or need to be attracted to the message and not to the messenger. This runs so counter to what we see on TV today and a lot of these things where's the attention being drawn onto the talker or the preacher or the speaker. And when you see that happening, you know there's something out of whack. Where should the attention be drawn to? One place, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and how you can come to know him as your Lord and Savior. Not on how you support the ministry, not on the money, not on the resources that the church needs. It's on how do you know Jesus Christ and how do you come into a closer relationship with him. Now, that's not to say there aren't needs of the church, but that's not what, you know, the message should be focused on. Yes, we're to teach word by word, verse by verse, as the Bible does and everything in there, to share it in its fullness, but not to keep focusing on those aspects of what it takes to run and operate the church. All right, so that's the bottom line. And that's where we see a lot of people are turned off today by the church because of how they're really hustling. It looks like they're hustling, you know, for themselves or for their organization instead of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. But they too will be held accountable, and that's not for us to judge them. They will be judged, and so we'll move on. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, and you can read on your own 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through like about 22. It gives you the full girth of it. But I just picked out some, the main portion of it. And in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, it talks about how each person is manifesting the Spirit in different ways. And that's a good way to put it, is that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we manifest the Spirit. In other words, it's not us, but it's a manifestation of the Spirit working through us. And so let me just read this. In 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, it says, "Now to each one, manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit." And we're going to talk about what each one of these are in a few minutes. "To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. And these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each just as he determines." So again, this talks about the types of Spirit, or the types of gifts, I should say, that are given by the Holy Spirit. And not everyone gets the same gifts, nor will anyone have all the gifts. And what I think is interesting is the way they've divided up the tongues. You know, obviously tongues must be used to glorify God personally, because you can sit there and talk in tongues and you may not understand it. But tongues can also be used to glorify God in a group setting as well, because he gives one the gift of tongues and then one the gift of interpretation. So that must be meant for you, for that to be done in a group where, you know, more than at least one, right? Where there's at least two. So God could be glorified in that group. But it is not meant to cause chaos and to attract the attention of people to those that are speaking in tongues, but to what the message is in tongues. And the way you can tell if it's a message in tongues is that it'll always be praise and thanksgiving to God. If you hear somebody start talking in tongues and somebody interprets it and says, oh, the Lord says that, you know, and they start giving some kind of a prophetic message, that was not a correct interpretation, because tongues will always be praise and thanksgiving of God. All right? And I've heard that happen. That's why I bring it forward. You know, they say, oh, yeah, and for thus the Lord says, and we're going to grow and prosper. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. But, you know, so again, if somebody's speaking in tongues, it'll be, oh, God, how great you are, how glorious you are. And, you know, and it'll be just really just a sweet praise of thanksgiving to God. All right. Also in Romans 12, 5 through 8, it says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. Notice over here it says faith to another, faith, right? Well, over here we're talking about grace. Grace has given us everything, right? Grace has given us our relationship with God through Jesus Christ through faith, which is a gift from Him, right? Just like grace is. So the bottom line is, the point I'm trying to make out or share here is, it's grace and faith. You know, the gifts are done in grace and faith. Just as we were saved, we're saved by grace through faith. And this is a gift from God. So the greatest gift we get from God is that we would believe in Him. And then these gifts will come to us as well as the fruits of the Spirit. You see what I'm trying to say? So this is a gift from God too, but no greater gift than our salvation that He's given us when we first come to know Him. People marvel at these gifts, but I say the greatest gift is to know Him as our personal Lord and Savior, and to have that, you know, personal relationship with Him. And of course, you know, everything else pales in comparison to that. And then of course the love that grows and the fruit and all that, the peace, the love and the joy. That's the greatest gifts we have. But He wants us to work. He wants us to use, you know, this empowerment, and that's what we're to do. So it goes on to say, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. There's faith again. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So this gives you a list of other gifts. So we have gifts that weren't mentioned before. Leadership and giving and mercy. This kind of gives you a little more insight into what are some of the other gifts. So those are the gifts of the Spirit. And again, we have them listed. We have even more than that listed, which we'll go to in just a minute. Just real quick on the handout, if you look at the first page of that handout, just a real brief, I want to go over these. We see that we have two types of gifts of the Spirit. We have the speaking gifts and the serving gifts. The speaking gifts are a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, prophecy, tongues, interpretation. An apostle is a gift. Being an apostle is a gift. We're going to see we don't have apostles anymore from the standpoint of what the original description of an apostle was. Being a teacher is a gift. Encouragement, leadership, evangelist, pastor, teacher. So you literally see some of the jobs that we have in the churches, like we talk about being an evangelist, or you talk about being a pastor, talk about being a teacher. Those are all done through the calling and the gifting that you're given. So if you're not called to be a pastor, it'll be evident, right? It'll be evident because, I mean, you know, they just get wore out because they're doing it in their own strength or whatever. But when somebody's called to do that, like I always heard, if you could be anything else, be something else. Because if it's not your calling, you want to do something else. But when it's your calling, you can't do anything else. I know, you know, like like missions. I tried to get out of missions. I get out of missions and, well, that's what I'd be thinking about. So I get right back into missions again. But so if it's your calling, you can't not do it. You know, I mean, it just puts a burden on your heart. So, and then you'll be raised up and be a teacher or be a pastor or be an encourager or a leader or administration or whatever you want to call this leadership piece. Right? Then you also have the serving gifts, faith. And what we're talking about here is that supernatural faith for us to be martyrs. And we are martyrs. Each and every one of us is a martyr. And martyr means to be faithful to our witness unto death. That doesn't mean you have to die on a cross to be a martyr or to be burned to death or shot for your faith. But it means with your last dying breath is being used to glorify God as a witness. You know, that's what being a martyr is. Whatever, however that may come. Whether it's through illness where you're facing death, whether it was, you know, however you're taken out of here, however that transition happens, that our lives was to be a living witness unto death for Him. Okay? That's what a martyr is, to be faithful in your witness unto death. And that's got a kind of supernatural faith that we're talking about. Healing. And we've seen this one misused a lot, you know, on TV. I don't know anywhere where it says, other than when Jesus Christ was doing it, where everybody was healed all the time. You know, there was some, you know, like where they just, you know, they weren't healed. Even in the Bible, you know, they just, you know, tried to heal them and they weren't healed. Or they tried to drive out demons, they weren't. Well, that's because you got to do. But on TV, it's like everybody's always healed. It's like, that's not biblical. You know, it's like when you pray and somebody's healed, what a great gift. I mean, what a experience that is. But at the same time, there's people you'll pray and lay hands on and they won't be healed. You know, but you know, only God knows why, right? But so when you see everybody being healed all the time, there's something wrong with that picture. And I've never seen anybody knocked down by the Spirit either when healing or whatever was going on. So, there's a lot of things that are distractions. Miraculous powers. And these miraculous powers, are abilities, I think of healing. To me, that's a miraculous power, miraculous strength when you need it, or miraculous abilities, you know, to call on that you wouldn't normally have, those types of things. We're given those when we need it from time to time. Service. There's no greater gift than to be in service. And we're all, if you're called to ministry, that's what being a minister is you have a ministry of service. You're in service to the flock. What did Christ tell Peter when he restored him, you know, after he denied him, right? He said, feed my sheep, take care of my lambs, and then feed my sheep, all right? So it's the care and nurturing of the young in the Christ and then the care and nurturing of the church and the body of Christ. That's what service is. And anybody that has a ministry, that's what we're to do, is to minister to others, whether you're a deacon, where you're waiting tables, or in, as we've seen under Ananias and Sapphira, they're carrying out dead bodies, right? I mean, that's a service. I mean, but that's still being in service to the body of Christ. Discernment. Discernment is knowing whether something is right or wrong. And God will give you a gift of discernment. When you hear somebody speaking like false teachers or whatever, you'll know. Because you have the Spirit of truth in you, you know, and He'll also give you the supernatural ability to discern. That's a wolf in sheep's clothing. And that's what pastors, you know, pastors typically have the gift of discernment, because that's one of the things that'll round out the pastor, because he's got to know who's with us, you know, and who's against us. And the enemy certainly sends people to come into the church, and to tear the church up and that kind of thing. Whether it's Satan or it's just the flesh or whatever, the pastor has to be able to discern that. As well as you have discernment for decisions in your own lives. And, you know, and to help clarify what your calling is and what you should do at any specific time. So it gives us discernment. Helps. Helping one another. You know, like with people that take out the food to people, you know, like here in our church, we have a group of people when somebody has someone that's hurting or suffering or in a hospital, they take over food and that kind of thing. So that's a ministry of helps. So that comes from the gift of helps. Administration. Being able to do the things to keep, the operation going, you know, the administrative skills and abilities. Giving of gifts. You know, some people aren't called to go to the missions field, but we seen last week that, you know, it says how can faith comes through hearing and hearing through the Word of God. But how can they believe if they haven't heard? And how can they hear if they're not preached to? And how can they be preached to if they're not sent? So there's some people that are meant to be senders, where they have resources that God has given them, so maybe they're not meant to go to the mission field, but they can send others who are called to go. So that would be the gift of giving. And the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy to me is like forgiveness. You know, you give somebody, what is mercy but to forgive those? You know, and when we're in the body of Christ, we're going to upset each other from time to time just because we're human. So one of the greatest gifts we need to have is that gift of forgiveness, gift of mercy, gift of moving on, and just, you know, wait until the time's right and then for our feelings to heal and to get back together and continue being part of the body of Christ. All right, so those are the speaking gifts and the serving gifts. So I know I went into those quite a bit. Before we go to the handout, I want to talk about we are one body with many parts. 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 31 says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." And that's what happened when we were baptized into the body of Christ. We became a part of that body. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles. There's those miraculous powers. Also, those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Of course not. You know, and Pastor Dave hit on this when we went through 1 Corinthians. You know, we're not all meant to do these things. So the Pentecostal churches believe that if you don't speak in tongues, then you're not really saved. Essentially, you know, you don't have the Holy Spirit. Well, that's, you know, the Bible's very clear. Not everybody is, you know, meant to have the gift of tongues or the interpretation or the, you know, specific gifts. You know, that's up to the Holy Spirit to determine. And so what actually happens is they'll work with somebody and they'll repeat some kind of thing and then it'll sound like they're talking in tongues. So then everybody accepts them as being part of the body of Christ. You know, so I mean, I think that's, if you have to do it in your own flesh, then something's wrong. You're baptized into the body of Christ. That's all you need to do. Is accept Christ and you're part of the body of Christ. You don't have to prove it by any gift that you're given. But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way. And this was in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Can anybody tell me what is the greatest gift that's talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Love. That's the most excellent way, is love. The greatest gift of all is love. And that love can only come through Jesus Christ and us being connected to Him as a branch from the vine. Ephesians 4:11 through 13 also talks about being one body with many parts. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What is the purpose of the church? It's right here. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Jesus Christ. That's what the purpose of the church is. That's what our purpose is as the body of Christ, is to do these things with one another, for one another, and through one another. To build each other up in the fullness of Jesus Christ. Remember, we talked about the sanctified life, that we're conformed to the image of Christ. And as we're being conformed to the image of Christ, we produce the fruits of the Spirit, which are done through maturity in Him. And we have love, faith, peace, and joy. But we also have patience so that we can work with one another and serve one another. We also have perseverance. So no matter how hard it may be, whatever task we're taking on, that we persevere through it. But the bottom line is so that we all come to unity with God through Jesus Christ and through the whole measure and fullness of Him. Into the whole measure and fullness of Him. So we are one body with many parts. And who's the head of this body? Jesus Christ. And He is the one that is in control. When we start being in control, that's just like Pastor Dave says, what's the purpose of our church? To keep it simple. That we want to be a church that's of Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. We're not here to run programs. We're not here to run mechanisms and things. We're here to serve God and to bring the body of Christ to the full measure of Him through Him. Amen? Now, I had this slide. My wife pointed out to me that this was a slide from last week. I told her she didn't have to tell everybody, but I'll tell everybody, because how do we get these gifts? I just wanted to remind you. Ask and you shall receive. The bottom line is, it talks about, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Right? And it talks about how if we as fallen humans can give good gifts to our children, just think how greater the gifts are that God wants to give us. And what are those gifts? Those are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. To those who do what? Ask for them. And that's what, this whole thing builds up to, is a crescendo. We pray tonight a crescendo for those who are led to ask to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and just to see or to recognize what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are that He's given you. Gives you tonight or, on into the rest of your life. So that's the bottom line. We got to ask. What's interesting is some people, as soon as they were baptized with water, they received the gifts of the Holy Spirit at the same time. Some people, it may take a trigger of faith, like an afterglow service, like what happened to me. And I was sharing last week about how my gifts of the Spirit weren't triggered until I went to an afterglow and we were praying and I had heart palpitations and all this stuff. And I thought I should say something. I didn't. And all of a sudden, a guy that was two chairs down said, "Oh my goodness, something's happened to me. My heart's really, going." I thought, "Wow, man, it's happening to all of us." But "Oh man, that's scary." And then I broke down in tears and it just broke my heart. Truly I had that broken heart and broken and contrite spirit. And, I cried like a baby. So all I could do was sob and just, as the worship songs were going, all that. But then it was like a couple of days later, it's like when I had this heart, this calling just to do missions. And that's when my wife and I got involved in Calvary missions and did all these kind of things. So, but it all came after that. I never had any desire to do anything like that until I went through that experience. So Chuck Smith says, sometimes it takes a trigger of faith. Because remember we talked about those gifts that use faith. It says, for those that have the faith, prophesy in faith. Use these gifts in faith. Sometimes we just need that trigger of faith for those to be actuated in us. So that's why we have afterglow services and those kind of things to trigger these gifts. Not anything that we can trigger, but what God uses, that experience, that moment while you're communing with Him, your spirit communing with His spirit, would trigger those gifts through faith. Who are the gifts intended for? And we covered this for a couple weeks now, but just to reiterate, as it says in again, Acts 2:39, it's intended for everyone. It says, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is intended for all those called by God. It is His power given to us so that we can fulfill the Great Commission. And that's to go forth and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And to be His ambassadors in that calling. And we all are called to that. Everybody has a common calling as far as being a witness. He makes that clear. He says that we are His witnesses, and as His witness, we are giving the good news because we have been given the good news. Our ministry, we have a ministry of reconciliation. That's what I was just talking about. That ministry of reconciliation is Christ reconciled us to Him. We're to share the good news so that others can be reconciled to Him. He's here to reconcile the world to Him, all that will be called and answer that calling through faith. And by grace, or by grace through faith. And how are we to do it? Well, we seen last week, we're to start in our Jerusalem. And our Jerusalem is right at our home, our house, our own family. And then go to our neighbors and then move out to the community. And then to Judea, which is maybe our state. And from Judea to Samaria, which may be another country, neighboring country or whatever. And then to the uttermost parts of the world. But the bottom line is, if you're not willing, able, and capable to share your faith or to share the good news with your daughter or your son or your mother or your father or your next door neighbor, chances are, and most likely, you're not going to be empowered to share with somebody cross-culturally, because it's more difficult when they speak different languages. It's more difficult when you have cultural barriers. So if there are no cultural barriers and you're not sharing your faith or sharing the good news, chances are when those other barriers come up, you're not going to be doing it either, for sure. Okay, so start right there, as Christ said, start in Jerusalem, go to Judea, Samaria, and the other parts of the world. That's the model we're to follow. All right, for those called to prepare God's people for service and maturity, reaching unity in our knowledge of Christ, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's who the gifts are intended for, and that's all of us. We're not all called to be pastors. We're not all called to be teachers, prophets, or to speak in tongues, but we are all called to the ministry of reconciliation. And that's to share the gospel and for us to be a living witness, a living testimony. Because what have we always said? Our actions always speak louder than words. You can be there sharing the gospel with somebody and then they see you stumbling out of a bar the next day or something like that. What's that do to your witness? You know, what does that do as far as your credibility or whatever? It literally, shoots it down. So your actions always speak louder than words. And that's why we want our lives to be a living sacrifice, as it talks about in Romans 12:1-2. Okay, before we do the homework review, I did want to go over the handout for about 5 minutes. Okay, let's go ahead and take a look at these. These are the gifts of the Spirit. And I'll just highlight some of them. First one I want to highlight is the apostle. It's right there on the first page there. It talks about one sent forth by God to share the witness that they had of Jesus Christ. They literally saw Jesus Christ in the flesh, and they seen him die and be raised again. So that's what makes an apostle, is that they actually or literally saw Christ in the flesh. Or Paul was the last apostle. And it's quite clear in the Bible that Paul was the last apostle, 1 Corinthians 15:9. But that doesn't mean we don't have an apostolic mission. And the apostolic mission is to go out and to make disciples of the world. We see Christ in the Spirit. We didn't see him in the flesh. That's the big difference. Prophecy, the ability to speak forth the mind and counsel of God. The prophets in the body of Christ were called to speak forth the word of God about present and future events, equip the saints for ministry, as well as edify. Edify means to build up, to comfort and to encourage believers within the body of Christ and reveal the secrets of men's hearts. So that's what prophecy is. It's not just speaking of future events, but also speaking of men's hearts, what God's will may be for someone's life. Like if we're called to a mission field, we'll wait for confirmation. And somebody will come up to you and say, I just had this dream or whatever that you were called to the mission field or whatever you're to go, so forth. I mean, that's a good confirmation, and that's a prophecy. Or they'll speak something about you or the church in a future sense. Evangelist, the spiritual ability to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ's redemptive story to a dying world lost in their sin and shame. We're not all called to be evangelists. Maybe we're not all called like Greg Laurie to go to the Harvest Crusade and speak to thousands of people and to have altar calls and that kind of thing. But don't confuse that with our responsibility to share the good news with who God has given us the opportunity to. All right? That's different than an evangelist. Evangelist is like a pastor that has a special calling, which is to give that good news in those types of settings. But we are all required or told that we're to give the good news to as a witness. And going on as an evangelist says, the good news is, in the words of Paul, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And that's the crux of it. That's what we're to share. And we've talked about that often. Pastor, teacher, the spiritual ability to shepherd the flock of God. And that's to feed them with the word of God and to equip them to find their gifts so that they too can do the work of ministry. So that's what a pastor does, and that's why we have this type of discipling. Pastor, teacher. Serving, the spiritual ability to meet physical needs of people within a given community or believers or unbelievers. So, you know, just like that Ghana group that's going to Africa, you know, they're going to be serving both believers and non-believers, but they're going to go there as doctors and those kind of things just to serve, to show them the love of Christ through their service. Teaching, spiritual ability to take the truth from the Word of God and explain it clearly so that the flock of God can understand it and apply those spiritual truths effectively to their daily lives. Now, I did want to take just a minute because it goes on to say that you can be a teacher, as I feel that that's one of my callings, but not be a pastor. So not all teachers are pastors, but it goes on to state here, all pastors are teachers. All right, so you can be a teacher and not be a pastor. Okay, and I believe that's what my calling is right now, is to be a teacher. And maybe, you know, and prayerfully that one day be a pastor as well, because I feel that leading. But you can have teachers that are not pastors, but all pastors are also teachers. Encouragement. Spiritual ability to come alongside a person who may be hurting spiritually or emotionally and offer them a word of comfort concerning the past and a word of encouragement, admonishment, which is truth and love, and challenge them that they will be able to walk in the steps of the Spirit in the future. Now again, this encouragement is, you know, that's why God puts us through hard times sometimes, is so that when other people go through the same kind of times, those hard times, we're able to come in there and encourage them. What we don't ever want to do is say, oh, I know how you feel, when you haven't been through that experience. You know, I lost my mother and was orphaned when I was 11 years old. So I can talk to people that have lost a parent or don't have parents or are orphaned or whatever. So, I mean, I can share that experience because I've went through it. But if your mother and father are still alive, you know, you say, well, I know how you feel. Well, that's pretty shallow. So, again, God, you know, we ask, why do we suffer? Well, when does incense give off a sweet aroma? When it's crushed, when it's burnt. You know, that's when we're... So when we're tested by the fire, we give off that sweet aroma, or frankincense. When it's crushed, it gives off a sweet aroma. So that's what happens to us too. So when we go through those hard times, we can encourage others. Giving. You want me to spend a few hours on this one, Pastor Dave, giving? In fact, actually, on Sunday, I'm going to tell everybody that Pastor Dave's actually recovering from his sermon on giving. Had nothing to do with his surgery. Leadership, you can read about that. Mercy. The spiritual ability to manifest pity and give aid to those who are physically, emotionally, or spiritually helpless. And it talks about in the Bible that we're to show mercy. You know, that's one of the things that we're to do, is to show mercy. So when people have wronged you, even if they are wrong, we're to forgive them. Word of wisdom. Spiritual ability to perceive life and truth from God's perspective and then apply that wisdom to specific situations. Wisdom can be discerned by its fruit. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. You give somebody a gift of wisdom, it would be like somebody don't know what to do in their life and you give them a scripture. The Spirit of Truth gives you a scripture that would address that situation. Specific, you know, somebody wants to have an abortion or something and you give them a verse about how precious all life is. Like, what was it in 139, Psalm 139, it talks about how we're knitted together, how God knit us together in the womb. You know, so you would share that, would be like a gift of wisdom to them, to something that they would apply in their lives and give them a blessing from. A word of knowledge. Spiritual ability to communicate spiritual truth, which has been acquired through the investigation of God's Word. And I believe I get this periodically as I study. And sometimes when I'm teaching, you know, God will make it clear as I'm speaking. You know, He'll give me the gift of knowledge right at that time. It's also, He may give you a knowledge, something that you wouldn't know, like Chris, whatever you may not know, Chris. See, like it.
Yeah, you're good.
That's a gift of knowledge. But he may have given you an instance in his life or something that's happening to Chris that you wouldn't know except through supernatural abilities. That would be like the gift of knowledge. Okay, so wisdom is giving something that people can apply to their lives and help them along their godly life. Knowledge is something that you didn't know, either when you were studying and then it comes to you, or you didn't know about somebody and it's given to you at that time when it's to be used. So anyway, you can read through the rest of these because we are running a little long. But so these are all great gifts. Ask for these gifts. He says, you shall receive. That's a promise. Ask and you shall receive. And then what we'll do is after we close in prayer, we'll go over the homework for those that want to stick around. Okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, Father. We thank you for all the gifts. And we thank you for putting us in the body of Christ and placing us right where you want us. And Father, right here, right now, I just ask that each person in their seat right now just to open up their hearts, their mind, their soul, and just ask you for the gift the gifting that you would desire them to have, and to make them the fullness and the maturity and unity with you, Father. So just fill them to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, and just give them the gifting that you would desire them to have. But you know, each person has to ask, and you promise that if we ask, we shall receive. So, Father, we know you are faithful, even when we're not. And to each of us that are given gifts, please help us use them for one purpose. And that purpose is to glorify you and to love you and to obey you and to fulfill the plan that you have for our life. So we just thank you, Father. We thank you for being our God. We thank you for the ministry of reconciliation that brought us to know you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit that indwells in us and comes upon us. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.